Welcome to the Halloween edition of The Adam Show. My name is Anna Paula, and I'm here with a few of my fellow Adam Show DJs.
Alex here.
Wit coming at you.
Mariam, the Queen of Arrow.
Abby, your undead police officer.
Now enjoy the rest of this Halloween hit Monster Mash, and then we'll get to the radio show after that.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent
you. Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash
good! Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash good!
Monster mash!
You are now listening to DS106 Radio. Welcome back to the Adam Radio Show.
Today, we will be talking about the history of Halloween. Now, when we think of Halloween, we think of fun, we think of parties, we think of costumes and trick-or-treating. But like any good old American tradition, there's a history behind it. Centuries ago, people believed in spirits, both good and evil. They believed that spirits sometimes helped and hurt people. Some of those people who lived long ago were known as the Celts. They lived in what are now England, France, and Ireland. The Halloween story begins when these people spent all spring and summer growing food to last them through the winter. When it was time to harvest all the food, the Celts held a festival to thank the good spirits for their help. This festival was called the Samhain. It was held on the day that marked the end of the warm, light weather and the beginning of a dark, cold weather, November 1st. As part of the celebration, people wore costumes, told fortunes, and ate plenty of good food. They also made sacrifices to keep the bad spirits away. Several hundred years later, other beliefs and religions spread to the Celtic land. The new religion, Christianity, believed that November 1st was a day to honor people who died for their religion. Celtic people understood how November 1st was a good day to honor good spirits. They had been doing it for centuries. The day became known as All Saints' Day, or All Hallow Mass. The night before the festival, October 31st, became known as All Hallows' Eve. Because November 1st was a day for good spirits and souls, the night before was thought to be the time for bad spirits to roam free. Halloween turned into a scary time for people who believed that evil spirits would wander the earth to do mischief and cause trouble. To feel safe, people began to put lanterns in their windows and in front of their doors to scare away spirits. They made the lanterns out of carved turnips and other vegetables. And in general, they did not consider this time to be happy. Today's Halloween celebration is combined with joyous fun and food of the Samhain festivals of the Celts with more creepy and spooky aspects of All Hallows' Eve. Costumes, pumpkins, and imaginary spooks all combine to make one of the more popular holidays in the United States, where people wish each other a happy Halloween. Thank you guys for being such a great audience. We will be back after a message from our sponsor. Hello, listeners of DS 106 Radio. We are here from the Big Boat Association. We just wanted to remind you that we will be hosting a Halloween boat show on Saturday, October 27th. Bring your friends, your grandma, your grandpa, and your kids. Remember to come here early because all the children admire the first boat in line. Hope to see you soon for some fun, some drinks, and some delicious food.
Welcome to DS106 Radio Show. Halloween Special.
The Shadow is the story of Bob Tallman and her two daughters, Risa Tallman and Sana Tallman. The family moved to a house in a countryside of Virginia, far away from city. No one lived on that house for years because it was believed that the house was haunted, even though the Tallman's family knew that. They bought the house because they did not believe in such things to be possible. But Sana believed on those things, and she did not like living on that house.
Hey girls, I'm going for the meeting tonight. I'll be here tomorrow morning. Stay safe and do not open the door for anyone.
Oh, Dad. Come on, we will be fine. You just enjoy your trip and I wish you best of luck for your meeting.
Thank you, Risa.
Dad, please come soon. I don't like this house at all. It's so scary. Hey, Dad. Can I come with you, please? Please?
Come on, Sana. You are a young girl. There is nothing to be afraid of.
You are a scary cat, Sana.
Okay, girls. Have a good night and see you tomorrow morning.
Okay, Dad. Bye-bye. And wish you luck for your business meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, Sana. And see you tomorrow.
Good night, Risa. Sweet dreams.
Same to you.
Just calm down, Sana. There's nothing.
There's nothing. Calm down. We'll go together and check it.
Okay.
See, there is nothing.
But believe me. Lisa. There was something. Believe me, Lisa. There was someone.
There is nothing. Look, there is nothing. There might be a cut or something. Just chill. I'll go down the stairs and check it for you.
Okay, let's go together.
Okay, just calm down. Relax.
Oh, what's happening to the light? Where is the light? Oh, wait, the light is gone.
It's okay. Just stay here. I'll go and get my torch.
Okay, come soon.
Just chill, it's me.
So, it was all you?
Of course, it was me. There's no one. There is nothing like that. It was just a joke.
But Lisa, I don't like such jokes. So please stop it.
What was that?
No, stop it, Lisa. Who's there?
Now time for a little Halloween love story for you, by Rhodes Fishburne. Once upon a time, a long time ago, a young man was cooking dinner for his lady friend when the doorbell rang. The young man, me, was much besotted by his lady friend, which is why he was making her his favorite dish, chicken Alfredo by Campbell's. His lady friend peeked out the window to see who was there. "Oh my God," she exclaimed, "there's a baked potato outside." And so it came to be that for the first time in many months, the young man and his lady friend realized how insulated they had become in their world of courtship. It had not occurred to them that not even for the briefest of flickers, what day it was, or even what month, they had been preoccupied with gazing longingly into one another's eyes and going for picnics at DuPont Gardens and eating private dinners out of a single saucepan. They had, in other words, successfully tuned the whole world out. But their romantic bubble had just been popped. Something horrible had happened. Something culturally unacceptable. Something more embarrassing than cold sores or bad breath or dangling toilet paper. They had forgotten it was Halloween. A young man peeked out the window to confirm the presence of the trick-or-treaters. In the porch light, he could see black shoe polish smeared liberally on the witch's face. and Scarecrow, with hay stuffed in his shirt collar, and a Chinese Tin Man. His lady friend panicked, but we don't have any candy, she said, as she ran room to room looking in vain for a pack of lifesavers to magically appear. The young man watched for her for a moment before an idea popped into his head. We could always turn off the lights and pretend. Don't even think about it, she interrupted from the top of the stairs. Leave it to others to patronize the arts, science, sports. His lady friend was a patron saint of holidays. Her memories of Christmas, Easter, and holiday were subject to tri-annual stories. She could recall her own Halloween costumes lovingly, handmade by her mother, by year, theme, and material. 1976, the Great Grape Ape. 1978 was the Raggedy Ann costume, and 1980 saw the unveiling of the life-size banana costume complete with hundreds of Chiquita stickers for his lady friend. Turning off the lights and playing possum was like announcing you did not possess a soul. The doorbell rang again. The young man looked around the kitchen, and the next 20 seconds he opened and closed every drawer, cabinet, and cubbyhole, looking for something, anything, to give one of the kitties outside. The fridge was useless. Leftover pizza, a jar of pickles, some baking soda. The doorbell rang again. The next group of trick-or-treaters had appeared, doubling the amount of candy needed. Outside, the baked potato said, I hear something inside. They began to chant, trick-or-treat, trick-or-treat, give me something good to eat. The young man stretched to open the last cabinet, the one above the stove, where the lobster pot, the shish kebab skewers, and the canister of Old Bay seasoning were stashed. Then Possible stared back at him, an unopened bag of caramel squares. Women, shouted the young man as he retrieved the bag, always hiding candy for that late-night sweet tooth. He tore open the bag, scooped a generous handful of tinfoil-wrapped candies, cradling their booty in his shirt. He threw open the front door. The beady eyes of the baked potato studied him skeptically. Behind the spud stood Batman, Merlin, and appeared to be the entire cast of Annie. The children opened the mouths of their bags, whack, and the candy disappeared into their satchels. The kids darted off towards the next illuminated stoop, shouting thank you over their shoulders. Behind him, his lady friend had come gingerly down the stairs. She peeked around the door just as Tinkerbell was leaving with the last of the candy. She wrapped her arms around his neck and said, you're so good, she cooed into his ear. He smiled. He had to admit, pretty good. They walked into the kitchen. She noticed an empty plastic bag of caramel squares on the counter. I didn't know you made soup, she said. Soup? He flipped the bag over, and written on the front was extra bold sans serif front, were the following words, onion-flavored bouillon cubes, extra strength.
Adam Radio Show. That's ADAAM, you crazy kids. Be safe on Halloween and have fun.
Hey, my name is Alex Spangler, and today I'm going to tell a Halloween story that has been one of my favorites to tell over the years. It's called Chili Anyone. It is the story that I like to share with people around this time of year. Bowling Green is a town that my parents live in, about 20 miles south of Fredericksburg. The town has two stoplights and a population of a little over 900 people. The town limits are about 2 miles away from each other, and the only speed limit is 25 miles per hour. There are no shopping malls or delicious restaurants to eat at, no parks to play games, no great tourist attractions. But the town did recently add a pet store. Bowling Green has at least 6 or 7 churches, all on Main Street, which is a little bit much, but oh well. There are more seats in the churches than there are people for them, though. The most flourishing business in the town is, of course, a funeral home. I can count on my fingers the amount of times that I have seen the funeral home closed. My parents live in a 3-level faded brick house that was built in the early 1900s just at the edge of town. All of the windows in the house are about 4 feet tall, 3 feet wide, and almost an inch thick. They all came out of an old Federal Reserve Bank in Richmond and are extremely rare now. Also, very expensive. In the basement, we have a large screen TV, squishy brown leather couches, an old pool table that was once my great-grandfather's, and about 8 of the windows surrounding the pool table. The windows provide for a great view to the small pond in our backyard. My sister and I bought it for my mom because she loves fish so much. The pond sits at the bottom of a steep deck behind the house. There are about 8 goldfish that live in the pond that are about 10 to 12 inches long. The only problem with the pond is it never gets cleaned. Literally. I don't know how the fish inside are still alive. Looking down at the pond from the deck, you can't even see the bottom, and it's only about 3 feet deep. Every year around Halloween, my parents host a party for my stepdad's birthday. We've been having these parties ever since I can remember, and I'm 22, so. The Halloween party is a gathering of about 50 or 60 people all dressed in whatever crazy costumes they can come up with. There's always a contest to see who can wear the most ridiculous costume, and the winner of the contest gets about $100 in lottery tickets. We actually had one person win almost $1,000 one year. We have fog machines out front, a big green blow-up Frankenstein, and a 13-foot-long, about 4-foot-tall skeleton hearse that we just bought last year. The entire house is decked out from ceiling to floor in very detailed spiders with spider webs, strobe lights, bowls with the hands that grab you when you try to get the candy out of, and all sorts of other things. For me, these parties are extremely fun because I get to invite all of my friends and just have a good time. Also, it's really entertaining to see what people will come dressed as. The best part about the party, though, food-wise, is the chili. There's a 50-gallon pot that my stepdad makes that seems to be the most sought-after dish. He prepares it for about 2 days prior to the Halloween party. However he makes it, it turns out really good. This particular year, one of the guests decided it would be fun to bring moonshine. There's always wine and beer at the party, but nothing really this extreme. Well, since it was so rare, after about 30 minutes, the entire bottle was gone. I was playing pool in the basement with a group of friends when I saw this woman, who I'm guessing had consumed a little bit of the moonshine, maybe a little more, flew down the steps of the deck out back, headfirst into a group of people standing at the bottom near the pond. I ran outside as fast as I could to see if they were okay. The woman who had jumped had no idea who they were, but decided that it was extremely necessary to interrupt their conversation by literally tackling them headfirst. All 4 of them went right into the mucky pond. They were all wearing costumes that resembled zombies or some type of living dead. The woman that jumped was laughing hysterically and saying the water felt nice. She might have had a little bit more than moonshine, I'm not sure. The other 3 were covered in green slime and mud, and they all smelled horrible. By this time, there were a dozen or so people trying to get them out of the water. We all walked back up the deck stairs and into the bathroom to get them cleaned up. In order to get from the deck to the bathroom, you have to go through the kitchen. Sitting on a table by itself was the 50-gallon pot of burning hot chili. The 3 that were covered in green filth walked into the kitchen, stopped right in front of 2 little children, which were about 5 or 6 years old. The children screamed at the sight of the dead people standing in front of them that were covered in green slime, turned around and ran. But they ran directly into the table that had the chili sitting on it, and the entire pot fell over right onto the ground. When the pot hit the floor, it erupted like a volcano. There was chili on the walls, the people, including the 3 that had been pushed into the pond who were already fuming right now. There was probably about 40 gallons of chili over the entire kitchen. My mom ran in from the other room, slipped on the chili, grabbed 2 other people and brought them down with her. The entire room was silent. Everyone froze. She looked around at the people, looked at the zombies covered in green slime, looked at me and said, "Chili, anyone?" and burst out laughing. Now the pond stays clean, there's no moonshine brought to the party, and the bowl of chili is kept on the stove, away from the reach of children. We also now have a sign that hangs outside that says, "Caution, hot chili," that my parents had made. I hope you liked my story. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Adam Radio Show. We have heard some great stories tonight, but now before concluding our show, I would like to give you all 10 safety tips to consider before going out on Halloween night. These tips are in no particular order. Number 1, you should always carry a flashlight with you before going out. It is dark out there and you do not want to get lost, and you want to see where you're going. Number 2, never go into a stranger's house unless your parents are there and say that it's okay. You never know with some people. Number 3, make sure your parents know where you're going. This may seem like a pain, but your parents love you and want you to be safe. Number 4, if driving to a Halloween party, make sure you fill your car up with gas beforehand. You do not want to run out of gas on a dark street and end up like the ending of a horror movie. Number 5, vandalism is never cool, such as throwing eggs at cars or houses. Someone will have to clean it up, and you can also get caught and arrested, and I don't think that's how you would like to spend your Halloween night. Number 6, when wearing a mask as part of your costume, make sure your mask does not obstruct your vision. It is dark outside, and you want to see where you're going. Number 7, if at a Halloween party, make sure no one has tampered with the food with a prank. You want your food to be edible and tasty. Number 8, don't play near jack-o'-lanterns that are lit. You do not want to catch your costume on fire. And some advice before that is to put fire retardants right on your costume so that will not happen. Number 9, you should never trick-or-treat alone. Use the buddy system. Take at least 2 friends with you or have your parents go with you. And finally, number 10, be sure to say thank you for your treat and be polite. Go to door to door asking for candy. You not want to be rude because that means limiting candy. So I hope you all keep these tips in mind before going out on Halloween night. Thanks for listening to the Adam Radio Show. I hope you have a safe and happy Halloween.